You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. You know, we stick to primarily sports, entertainment, and odd news, but that doesn't mean that something can't come out of left field and, you know, distract us.
The perfect word there is try. We try to stick to those things.
Basically, as long as it's interesting, we'll talk to you about it. That's our goal here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Before we delve into the news topics that we do want to go over with you, we like to do a little intro and recap what we've been up to since the last time we recorded. So, Mike, what have you been up to? By the way, I noticed you're wearing the Crispy Noodle shirt.
I am wearing the Crispy Noodle shirt.
Yeah, I hope
it's a shirt you can wear anytime.
I hope you guys took advantage of it because
you can't anymore.
Yeah, that was a limited run. It actually came out really good. I'm really happy with them.
I am really happy with it. It's comfortable. It's nice and light. It's a nice light fabric, very soft.
Good for the summer.
It is good for the summer, yeah.
So if you got them, yay to you. If not, what were you doing?
If not, you'll just have to wait until next year, maybe.
Yeah, next year's games are a marathon.
That's it, once a year, if we do it again. We'll probably do it again. Yeah.
Especially if it comes back to Philly. We got to do it.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
We'll have to ask Bob about that.
Yeah.
Which,
little teaser.
Yeah, should we plug? Yeah, let's plug this
sure,
right
let's
now.
Plug it right now.
In the side dish coming up on this week's episode is Bob Haig, a game show fanatic. He was at the Game Show Marathon. He's one of the co-founders of the Game Show Marathon. And the big thing is that he's going to be on Pyramid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a television star.
Yeah, we can say that we have a television star, right?
Yeah. So we'll have a television game show star joining us at the side dish portion of our show, so stay tuned for that. But now, to get back to our original point.
Yes.
What have you been up to, Mike?
What have I been up to? Well, I don't know if I mentioned this, but recently I helped clean out my basement, and so we were going through all the old stuff. And this past week, I've spent a lot of time transferring all the old VHSs to digital. I bought a little video capture device.
Really?
Yeah.
You went out this far?
Yeah. Some of the VHSs were old family videos. And so I've been transferring those over, and it's so funny to watch all those family videos back. But the one thing that I noticed, and every time I watch a family video, I cringe, is that I was such an ass.
Really?
When I was little, yeah, because I got my hands on the family camera, and I would videotape my younger cousins, and it's funny because they would say something. I'd be like, oh, yeah, really? Okay.
This is so bad.
Really, this bad?
And I would yell, cut. Like, if somebody was videotaping, I'd be like, cut, cut, don't tape, cut. And I'm like, such a little...
Director.
Yeah, a little ass hat director, yeah. I feel like I've come a long way since then. Now I'm only like that, like 70% of the time.
Look at that bitch. How dare she? She's so uptight. God.
See?
You've progressed. A little bit.
Progressed, yeah, I guess.
Just a little bit.
Motherfucking pterodactyl.
Wait a minute. No, you haven't. No, I forgot. You said MF pterodactyl.
Yeah, yes. A zebra can't change his stripes.
Motherfucking pterodactyl.
Yeah, so, but it's been fun rewatching them and seeing, you know, how you were as a kid and remembering those times and seeing how much of an ass you were and reminding yourself
in your face
and reminding myself not to
that's
be like
pretty,
that. Yeah.
That's pretty childish.
Yeah.
In your face.
Oh, I guess you never lose that quality about yourself. It just amplifies as you get older.
Yeah.
You know,
there you go. Good job, Mike.
Yeah. Been reliving the past, realizing what an ass I am.
One more thing before we delve into the news that we have to talk with you about. A little bit of programming note. Yeah, we're taking our annual summer vacation.
Summer break, yep.
Yeah, it's next weekend. But don't worry, we will still have an episode for you. It'll be a clip show format.
That's right.
So we won't leave you, we won't leave you with nothing to listen to. But also, I think this is a happy little accident that it worked out like this. The coverage that we did from Too Many Games was right at the end of June.
Right.
And then July, as I was saying, I was trying to promote the Game Show Marathon as much as I could, and I kind of delayed releasing the videos that we did from Too Many Games.
Right.
So I figured since we're taking a week off, I think this is the perfect time to get to our YouTube channel and release the videos. So I believe what's going to happen is we're going to do like one a day because it'll be, I think, seven interviews.
Yes.
I think it's seven interviews.
Seven or eight. I can't remember.
Yeah. And it'll come out one a day. So
nice.
Perfect timing. So even though we're on summer vacation, there's actually going to be a lot of content coming your way.
Yeah. Oddly enough, it's like the one week where we're not going to have like a full show and it's like the most content ever. So it's good for you guys.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. It sounds bad that we're going on vacation, but it's actually really good.
We are benevolent podcast rulers.
Yes.
Just remember that.
Yes, we're good
guys.
The
next time we do something stupid, just remember how benevolent we are.
Damn you, Mark Wahlberg!
is that what our listeners do? Damn you, Rich and Mike!
I mean, sometimes we do get angry. But for the most part, we're good guys.
Yeah, we try to be.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Except at the beginning of the show when I said I was an ass.
Yeah, that's right.
In your face! Ha ha!
But anyway, the programming note is next week, there's not a technically new episode, but
a fun
clip show. Clip show to go over some highlights that have happened in the past year that you know what? If you listen to, you're going to laugh your ass off again. So you're definitely going to want to tune in and listen. And also, check out our YouTube page because we're going to have all the videos from Too Many Games up and running. So there you go. A lot of content coming your way next week, even though we're on vacation. So it'll be definitely interesting to be a part of.
Yes.
All right. Now with that out of the way, I think it's time we head into the first part of the show where we group all the sports topics into one tight little package we call the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Yeah, sports coming at you in your face. This is a relatively new segment that we've been doing.
Yeah, we've been doing
this. I think it's been a hit.
Yeah, I think it works pretty well, this new segment we have. We try and take some of the top sports headlines and hit them with you real fast in something we like to call the two-minute drill.
All right, let me start off the clock here. And, Mike, begin. What do you got?
All right, this week in the two-minute drill, we have some football news to get to. The NFL is set to announce Philadelphia as the host city for the 2017 draft. Philly fans will have to wait to see their hometown team pick, though, because they gave up early round picks this year to take quarterback Carson Wentz. Should still be fun, though.
Yeah, fantastic. Of course, the year we finally host the NFL draft, we don't have any first round picks.
No first round
picks. Are you kidding me?
Well, that's Philadelphia luck for you right there.
Everyone gets booed, period. I don't care.
There you go.
I'm going to go there. I'm going to boo myself.
An official mission from us here at the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
We're booing every draft
pick. Boo.
I agree.
But there's one thing you don't want to boo that's related to the Eagles, and that is the hiring of former safety Brian Dawkins to the scouting department. A lot of fans online are already excited at the possibility of Dawkins one day becoming a coach. I think we need to calm ourselves down a little bit. He's just part of the scouting department for now, but hopefully he can help us pick the next all-pro safety, right?
Yeah. I don't think he'll be head coach anytime soon.
No.
Definitely fun to see him back in the spotlight and enjoying the Eagles organization.
Yeah, hopefully he can bring some of that football knowledge to picking the next generation of great players for the Eagles.
Maybe future defensive coordinator?
Maybe. But let's focus on the here and now, and the here and now is Eagles long snapper and resident magician John Durambos. Advanced to the semifinals of America's Got Talent.
Yay!
He will be one of 21 acts to advance to the semifinal stage. So everybody has to keep watching.
Great. Yeah, great.
Great. Yep, definitely.
Yeah.
But you guys have to remember to keep watching and keep voting for him if you want to see him progress even further. Shout out to John Dornbos. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm excited that he's on the show, and I want to see how far he goes.
And you know what? His acts are great. Go check him out if you haven't. Go check him out. Vote for him. You know, stay up to date on it.
Yeah.
And that wraps it up for the 2-minute drill.
There you go, baby. Yeah.
There you go, baby. Yeah.
I kind of like this. I think it's my new thing. What comes out of my mouth just in like the 1 second filler we need to close out the 2-minute drill.
So
yesterday I went, oh yeah.
Yeah, last week.
Last week.
Yesterday, yeah. Wow. Whoo, boy.
Last week I went, oh yeah.
Oh yeah. And that was, what'd you say? Come on, baby.
Oh, yeah. There you go, baby.
All right. So, all right, listeners, I'm going to have to really work hard to stretch out the 2-minute drill.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
There you go, baby.
Oh, yeah. Come on, baby.
Next time do it with a southern accent.
Yeah. I'll have to remember that.
But enough kidding aside, because this next topic we have is very serious, Rich. Very, very serious stuff. Very important stuff. One of the biggest sporting events of the year just wrapped up. I'm talking, of course, about the ultra exciting and radical PGA Championship.
Woo! Golf! Yeah!
Is this the last one?
This is the last major.
Yes! Shut up. Oh, I'm so sad, Rich.
Shut up, Mike.
I feel so bad.
God damn it, Mike. Ruining my golf fandom over here.
Yeah, but think of it this way. Golf ends and football begins.
I tell you what, yeah, it is perfect timing for that.
Yeah, that's what I'm excited about.
PGA Championship was held over the weekend in North New Jersey, which provided a little bit of trouble with the weather. Because
there's green in North New Jersey?
Barely. But
that was just a jab at Jersey.
Yeah. But in the area here, we got hit with some pretty bad storms, which delayed play Friday going into Saturday and canceled the majority of Saturday play, which...
Really?
Yeah. I
guess you can't golf on wet ground?
Well, very windy, stormy conditions and lightning. No, you can't do that.
No. Oh, I guess, yeah, they were pretty stormy, yeah.
Yep. It was so bad that they were thinking, you know, this might have to go till Monday, which... You really kind of don't want that, you know.
You don't want your final round to happen on a Monday,
yeah.
Right?
When I'm at the office and I can't watch. So I was crossing.
You could have watched. You could have just pretended you were doing something else.
So I was crossing my fingers that it was going to make it on Sunday, and luckily it did. They were able to fit essentially 2 rounds in Sunday.
Wow!
Because
golf moving fast.
I know. Yeah,
that's unheard of.
What also helped was they were actually playing by winter rules in the third round of play.
What? Why? It's July. It was July.
Right, but it helped. For those who don't know, there's a difference between winter rule and summer rule.
Yeah, what are winter rules?
It's better to explain it this way. Summer rule is you cannot touch the ball from tee to green, period. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Okay.
Absolutely. There's no... If somebody says you're playing golf summer rule style, no touching of the ball until you hit the green.
Okay.
So if it gets mud on it, nope. You have to play it as it is. If it gets scratched or something, you have to play it as it is. Too bad.
Okay.
Winter rules allow you can clean the ball, you can replace the ball.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
That makes sense, I guess, yeah.
Yes. And I know this sounds silly. You're going to say like, oh my God, what does that have to do with anything? It actually speeds up the play. Because it takes out less variables that you have to account for. If you're hitting a clean ball, you're not.
But you have to stop and clean it every 4 minutes.
No, you just place a new ball. You pick up the dirty ball. You throw the new ball.
That takes less time.
It does because you don't have to account for if the ball is dinged up, messed up, if it's got mud on it.
You know what sport doesn't worry about that stuff? Football, Rich.
God, just
rain, sleet, snow,
bastard.
Heat. That football's deflated. The football's overinflated.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. We had Deflategate. Remember that? We had to freaking worry about how much PSI was in a stupid pigskin. Oh, you bastard. Let me finish my call. This is it.
It's the last one. I got to give you a hard time,
This
Rich.
Is it. I don't have... We don't have another major until March of next year.
God forbid.
Yeah, all right? This is 8 months I'm going to have to go without golf, unless, like, something ridiculous happens, you know what, though, in, like, the Ryder Cup.
You know what, though? I can definitely relate to that, because that's me during the football off season. I know how you feel, buddy.
Yeah, all right? This, please,
this is a time of mourning for Rich.
It is, because this is it. We're done the majors. I mean, the Ryder Cup, if something unique
what
happens.
Is that? What is the Ryder Cup?
The Ryder Cup is a rivalry match play game between the American golfers and the European golfers.
Does that even matter, though, in golf?
No, but it's just prestigious. You want to if you qualify for that, it means you're one of the top golfers in your continent.
Oh, that's pretty good.
For the most part, it's
yeah.
The majors are it.
The majors
are the Super Bowls. Yeah.
Okay.
And this is the last one of the year, so I got to wait 8 months for the next Super Bowl. God damn it!
No, you don't. You just have to wait until February.
I meant in golf.
I know what you meant.
All right.
But anyway, so they had to play by winter rules.
Yeah, which was nice.
And that actually sped it up, saying?
Right.
Okay.
Takes out less variables the golfers had to deal with.
I'll take your word for it, because it seems like it would take longer, but if you say it took shorter.
Yeah. And they were able to fit all the golf into Sunday. And in the end, a relatively unknown golfer, Jimmy Walker, pulls out the win.
Is he related to Johnny Walker?
He might be after this weekend. But he pulled out his first major victory at the PGA Championship, which wraps up a very unique year in which every single major winner in 2016, it was their first career major victory.
Wow.
Every single one of them.
So to me, that says that the best golfers are actually crap, that the no-names are actually...
Yeah, there's not really a dominant golfer. We thought it would be Jordan Spieth, but he collapsed at the Masters, and we haven't really heard from him.
This
since.
Is like when the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl in 2002.
Why? Because we didn't hear from him again?
Because the Buccaneers, it's like the Buccaneers. They won with Brad Johnson at quarterback.
Yeah, we should have won that year.
But
damn
anyway.
It, stop talking about football.
I have to relate it to football. So
let me finish this. Damn it.
But this guy, so all right. So Jimmy Walker, you said?
Yeah, Jimmy Walker. Yeah.
Okay. I've never heard that name. Never.
Yeah,
not
no, he's
once.
A relative unknown. This is the first time since 2011 where every single winner, it was their first career major.
Wow.
And yeah, it's kind of evidence that, yeah, the top golfers aren't dominant.
So right now there is no top golfer.
Well,
the
there is rankings. If you want to go by rankings, it's Jason Day.
Okay.
Who finished second in this.
So I guess he's still pretty good.
I mean, yeah, Jason Day is one of those guys that you can expect him to finish in the top 10.
Okay.
So he's always making a run for it.
I guess there's more equality or parity, I guess is a good word.
Yeah, there's more parity. Yeah, I like that, yeah.
Which is good, because you don't want one person dominating, you know, all the time, right?
Yeah, because that in and of itself gets a little bit boring.
Yeah.
To go back to this year's PGA Championship, technically Jimmy Walker had a wire-to-wire victory.
That means he led all rounds, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it does not... That makes it sound like he was very dominant. He actually wasn't. It was actually a very tight race between Jimmy Walker and, at the end, Jason Day. Jason Day was making a run for him, especially in the last round, where Jason Day finished his last hole of the entire weekend with an eagle. You want to talk
Isn't
about
that 200 par?
Yeah, you want to talk about putting pressure on the leader as they're coming in to try and clinch the major.
That, like,
he finished
never,
out with an eagle.
That, like, never happens, does it?
No.
An eagle.
And I'm sorry, Mike. This is one thing you've got to give golf props for.
No.
You can't run out the clock in golf.
Okay.
The leader.
You have to play all the way to the finish.
Right. Yeah. Jimmy Walker had to finish those final three holes knowing that Jason Day was I think he finished birdie, par, eagle.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good golf right there.
Right. But Jimmy was able to handle the pressure. I believe he had a birdie on the 17th that helped him out, and he finished one stroke ahead.
Wow.
Just enough.
So
breathing.
A nice close match.
Yeah.
I guess that makes it exciting for golf fans.
Yes, it does. It's funny too, like when you see the leader going into his last hole, you kind of like count in his head, like, okay, he's got three strokes left. This is it, you know.
Yeah.
If he doesn't finish in three strokes, it's going into a playoff. 2-1 Hey, you gotta get this in the hole.
And you know, I really like the point you made about they can't run out the clock. You know, I like that idea, because I will admit, when I watch football games and the team like starts kneeling with like 1:30 left, I'm like, come on, really?
Yeah,
it's boring. You want to see them fight until the very end. So I will acquiesce. I will give golf props for that. They do keep it competitive to the very, very end, which is good.
Yep, and Jimmy Walker luckily did not fold under the pressure, and he won his first ever major, let alone the PGA Championship. So, wraps up every single major winner in 2016. It was their first major. Danny Willett winning the Masters Tournament after Jordan Spieth collapsed earlier this year. Dustin Johnson, he was always like a top five finisher, but he never finished won as a champion before. He won at the U.S. Open. Then we had Henrik Stenson 2 weeks ago winning the British Open in a duel with Phil Mickelson. Very exciting. And now Jimmy Walker gets his first one at the PGA Championship. Major love all around.
You know what I like about that list there, though, is the only name that rings a bell to me is Dustin Johnson, because we've talked about him before. But all the others, like, we've never mentioned.
No, not really.
Like, even when you do the odds or whatever, I've never heard any of those names. So I guess that would be exciting for golf fans to see these new faces constantly, move up to the top.
Yeah, because it would get a little bit boring if we have another Tiger Woods or something. I mean, it would be.
Was it boring watching Tiger Woods as a golf fan?
I mean, here's the thing.
Predictable, I guess.
Here's the thing. That was when I was first starting to learn how to play golf. So at the time, Tiger Woods kind of made golf seem cool.
Right.
And I think there's like a little bit of that factor in it for me. So I don't know if I can objectively say.
Right. Right. Because I guess you were growing up during the Tiger Woods era. Right. Not growing up, but you were like being introduced
that's when
golf.
I was, getting into golf. Yeah. Was seeing Tiger Woods win all these, 14 majors he won.
Wow.
Yeah. And now we haven't heard from him since. as much as it pains me to say, that is the last golf major of the year. Seems it's way too soon, but understandably, because
well, they did move it up
because there's gonna be the Olympics, and
which we haven't talked about at all.
Yeah, I guess we're gonna have to get to that sooner or later.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. What's your favorite Olympic sport?
I don't know. I gotta admit,
do you not follow the Olympics? How do you not follow the Olympics?
Yeah, I don't know.
Everybody it's like a worldwide thing.
Yeah,
you follow golf, but not the Olympics.
Yeah, I follow golf, but not the Olympics.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So what's all right? So you're not going to watch the Olympics at all, or you're going to like half-ass it?
Yeah, I'll more like half-ass it. Yeah, like if it's on TV and I don't have anything to do.
What's the last Olympics you paid attention to?
I think the last thing I remember watching is the Usain Bolt run.
Okay,
that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
people
are literally breaking
fast
world records, Rich.
Yeah. And
what about Michael Phelps, and like, didn't he win like 8 gold medals one Olympics? Didn't you watch that?
Yeah, swimming.
What about women's beach volleyball? You didn't watch that?
Not for the reasons that you specified. of course, the Olympics is coming up, so
yeah.
Golf did the right thing in conceding time to make sure that they get their due there. As much as it pains me to say it, that's the end of our golf talk, I believe. Unless something crazy happens in like the Ryder Cup that I think we have to mention or something, that pretty much wraps it up.
Yeah, it's been a very, I will say this about golf this year, a sort of retrospective. It hasn't been fun for me because there weren't that many like weird rule things going on, especially the last two majors. But from what I can tell for golf fans, it seems like it was a really good year for golf.
Yeah.
A lot of new faces, a lot of really close matches, a lot of high quality, high caliber golf. As an outsider looking in towards it, it seems like it would be a lot of fun for golf, diehard golf fans that really follow the sport. But for an outsider, God, I gotta say, Rich, man, I like it when we have wartime rules and
yeah,
like weird things are happening.
You don't have bombs going off.
They're watching turtles, or like an anthill gets in the way of the ball, and all these weird, awkward things.
I'll tell you what. Here's one thing. Here's one thing that I thought made the PGA Championship very interesting. And I think golf should consider this.
What?
Because the rain delay happened on Friday and Saturday, golfers were kind of out of sync with their groups. They were allowed the there was some freedom in with some golfers going ahead, falling behind, etc. And what that did was the golfers really weren't aware of their score until they were coming down the last couple holes.
Okay,
so that's why a guy like Jason Day, he went aggressive on 17 and 18
to try and catch up.
Yeah, to try and catch up, and he finished with an eagle.
Wow.
Like, I think that might be something we look into. Like, okay. the golfers shouldn't realize what the scores are of the other golfers.
That's interesting. I mean, how can you police something like that?
Get rid of the scoreboards.
Get rid of the scoreboards. Everybody has a cell phone nowadays. They could just, like, look it up online. Could you imagine, like, golfers checking online the score?
Actually, no.
Are they allowed cell phones?
I don't think the PGA, you're allowed to have you're not allowed to have a range finder. I don't think so.
A range finder? I'm talking about just a regular cell phone.
Well, anything electronic. Yeah. I don't think so.
Golf would do something like that.
I think that would be pretty cool. Because that would add like a risk reward system.
Right.
You know? I don't know. I thought that was kind of cool that PGA, that during the PGA Championship.
It just sort of happened like that, and you think that they should make it like a real thing.
Yeah, because like the golfers, they kind of weren't sure where they were in the scoreboards.
Well, you know what I always say? I always say you should make them golf simultaneously. Everybody golf at the same time.
It's a race.
Have four people start at the tee, and you golf. Wouldn't that be fun? And like balls collide midair, and you're like, ah!
Just like that.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be exciting, though? Could you imagine like three different people like putting at the same time? Because then it's like a mental game. It's like, do I pretend like I'm putting and then try and make them rush their shot? Or do I try to putt at the same time and knock his ball out of the way? If you're ahead by a shot, you can take a shot to sort of like mess him up. I don't know. Just
call it battle.
I'm now thinking like battle golf.
Yeah. Call it battle golf. We'll see. We'll have to
golf. PGA. Get in touch with me. I've got some great ideas. Most of them involve windmills and waterfalls, but I have a feeling they'll like it.
All right. Well, while Mike gets on the phone with the PGA office.
Hello, PGA? Yes.
Yeah. Yep, you call them up right now. While Mike's doing that, we'll take our first break. But don't go anywhere because we've got the entertainment entree. And then we're talking to Bob Hegg of The Pyramid and the Game Show Marathon. So don't go anywhere. Still plenty more shows still to come. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Did you hear this?
A California woman who was recently rescued from a forest with her newborn baby after a 3-day ordeal, saying that she gave birth, fought off bees, and started a wildfire, is doing okay.
Yeah, I need to know the order of events here.
NBC reports that 35-year-old Amber Pangborn was driving to her parents' home when she felt like she might go into labor. So instead of taking the main roads, which she thought would be blocked due to traffic, she took a back road through a remote part of Plumas County National Forest. Pangborn said that that's when she ran out of gas in her car. While she was stranded, she did go into labor and gave birth to her daughter. After she gave birth to her daughter, that's when she wandered further into the woods and came across a beehive that was trying to sting her.
I'm stranded in the middle of a national forest. I know. I'll head straight into the heart of it.
Yeah.
Away from civilization. Why did she walk backwards? It doesn't make any sense. Or stay with the car.
So she moves further into the forest, and she grabs her hairspray and her lighter and started a brush fire.
Why is everything to the extreme? Get stranded in the woods, go in further. Come across a beehive, fight them off. Need to start a fire to stay warm? Make a flamethrower.
Hangboard said that was when I looked at my baby Marissa and was like, I think mommy just started a forest fire.
You know, like, this is, look, honey, that's the forest fire mommy set. Just have this image of this woman standing there holding a baby, just staring out at this flaming mountain.
Yep.
It's like the final scene in a really crappy B-movie action drama.
Well, yeah, you know, it's Gone Girl 2. I've always wanted to start a fire.
What a subtitle!
Rosamund Pike, man. You can't believe the crap she's going to be up to in this movie.
I know. It's wild.
They're going to have, like, the narration. I made sure that there was no gas in my car.
Yeah.
Then I made sure I had the perfect traffic alibi. I left at 5 o'clock during rush hour.
I waited 9 months just to give birth on the way there.
Everybody feels sorry for a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
That's when I took out my hairspray and my lighter.
To make it seem like I was running from something, I sprayed myself with bee pheromones so that they would chase me further into the woods.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah.
One of the things...
some really strange music.
Yeah. One of the things I'm doing in our week off is I'm going to watch some more Bond movies.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. This is the
is
often...
this James Bond music?
This is the often forgotten movie on Her Majesty's Secret Service theme.
Why is it forgotten?
Because it features George Lazenby and he only did one movie.
Ah.
So it often gets forgotten, but it's actually a
pretty
good movie.
And you picked the theme to this particular movie.
Sure.
Is this the movie you're going to watch?
Yeah, sure. I haven't seen that one in a while.
Okay.
So I figured it would be appropriate to start off the entertainment entree with it.
Sure, why not?
Yes. We could all use more Bond, I think.
I guess, yeah.
All right. Well,
I think I told you last week, I never really got into the whole spy movie fad.
Yeah, that's right. You didn't know Jason Bourne.
Jason Bourne. And I've only... James Bond is not really... I mean, I've seen the more recent ones, but other than that, my knowledge of James Bond is kind of lacking.
Ooh, well, I think we're going to have to change that in the future.
All right.
But in the meantime, let's go back to what we have planned on track. And up next is the very fun entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Andre.
I used to be so wild, I was the life of the party. Now I'm all grown up, so instead they call me mommy. Late nights getting reckless with J-Wow, Sammy, and Ronnie. All these dudes were hopeless, but then I met Gianni. I'm a mommy with attitude, no time for haters cause they too rude. Now I got my own series on YouTube, and I'm spending these checks on baby food. Fit life, my body changing. At the house, potty training. Two kids, not complaining. Shout out my son and daughter, Lorenzo and Giovanna.
Mike, what the hell was that?
Well, that was the latest smash hit from the amazing musical artist Snooki.
What? Snooki?
Snooki.
What rock did the music producer find her under?
I have no idea.
Are you serious? You dug up something from Snooki?
No, this just came out. This just came out last week. Snooki's Young Mommy. And that's Young spelled Y-U-N-G.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
They dropped the O.
Is there a reason? I didn't know. Is this how the kids are spelling it these days?
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
I'm not, if this is the case. What the hell was that?
I have no idea. That was really awkward, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. Is that like a siren going off?
It was all auto-tuned. I love how... So that was the entire song, actually. That was the entire song.
That was it? That was only like a minute.
Yeah, I know. That's it. That's all... I guess that's all she had the time for.
Wow.
Being such a young mommy.
Our sausage wrap was longer than that.
Yeah.
At least just as long.
Yeah. At least. And we made that just...
Wow.
That short little clip. Yeah, so it was a minute. I think it's like a minute 20, and there's really nothing to it. Like, I'm looking at the lyrics right now.
Oh, please enlighten me on these lyrics.
So, I love... So she goes...
I'm a master of the lyrics. These hoes, they think they classy. Well, that's the class I'm skipping.
I love... At the end of the song, she goes, breastfeeding, breastfeeding, breastfeeding.
Wow.
Yeah. At least that's what the lyrics say.
Artist of our generation right here.
That is art at its finest.
Dear God.
I love the fact, though, that she's just so... She's not even singing. She's just speaking.
Yeah. And they auto-tuned her.
And it auto-tuned her, yeah. Like, we could rap like that.
You know what's sad? Here's something I did over the weekend. I rewatched Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
All right? Because I'm gangsta like that.
Of course you are. Very gangsta.
Yeah. But you know, I rewatched Straight Outta Compton, and I really listened to the music behind it. It's really good music. It's good hip-hop. It's good rap.
You know what else I liked about it? And I'm not a huge rap fan, in case people couldn't tell. But I really appreciated the art and the effort that they put into it. But to me, this seems like they tossed this crap together. And
yeah.
This is like one of my Christmas parodies.
This is the state of rap music. It's just thrown together, shoot it in auto-tune, and crap out something.
Yeah, it's pathetic.
Yeah, absolutely pathetic.
Now, I mean, the description says don't take it too seriously. It's just meant to be fun and funny, so I hope you enjoy it. But it's got 20,000 dislikes.
Well, here's the thing with this is... If it keeps going down this path, Snooki would just say, "Oh, it's just a joke. It was just a joke."
But I mean, it's pretty bad. So it's a music video. You guys are just hearing it, but you have to see it too.
But if it did go popular, she would try and launch a music career.
Probably.
See, that's the thing that.
But you know what?
She's trying to play both sides of the field, and come on, you were actually trying to make this like a rebirth into like music career or something, you know. If it did get popular, if it did succeed,
well, this is a marketing ploy because I don't understand the Snooki's reward program.
What?
What? I don't know what this is.
Click it.
I did. It took me to a Facebook thing. Snooki, I don't understand what this is. So, I mean, obviously she's trying to sell something. You know, like it's just a marketing gimmick because even in the lyrics, she says, "I got my own series on YouTube, and I'm spending these checks on baby food." So, I mean, you know, clearly,
right, well, that's good.
It's like
she's
a marketing
the baby.
Gimmick. You got to feed the babies.
That's important.
Both are babies. But yeah, it's really sad. It's a really sad reach, I think.
Yeah, I think so as well.
That's the state of modern music.
Thank you, Jersey Shore. This is what we have to live with in the aftermath.
Just when you think it was dead. You know, when you think it's all gone, it's not coming back, Snooki releases a song.
Dear God.
It's got 1.1 million views.
Dear God.
And unfortunately, we're one of them.
All right, well, let's move on. Enough Snooki, enough Jersey talk. Let's go into our next segment. Folks, it's time for Mike to let you know what's coming up in the world of movies, TV, and video games. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
Thank you.
these hoes, they think they classy. Well, that's the class I'm skipping.
Yeah, there you go. That's what's happening. Just that.
Sounds like she skipped a few classes. Was that mean? That was mean.
I have no idea. I don't know what that means.
I'm not going to apologize.
Don't apologize. Run with it.
Okay, I'm going to run with it. This week, if you need some schooling when it comes to movies, I've got two good ones for you guys to check out. First up, this one is an indie flick. Haven't heard much about it, but I just saw it pop up today. I watched a trailer. It looks really interesting. Little Men is coming out this week. Right now, it's got a mid-80s on the Metacritic score and an 8.1 average rating on Rotten Tomatoes. It is basically about two boys' new friendship being tested when their parents have a business disagreement. So you know how sometimes I bet many people have experienced this, where their kids get caught up in like a feud between two families, and you know, friendships are tested or broken because of it. And so this movie takes a look at that dynamic, and it seems to be very down to earth, very honest, and a great look at that time in a young person's life when they're trying to understand, you know, they're trying to understand these different weird dynamics, these adult dynamics that, you know, in their little kid minds. So if you're looking for something serious, something interesting and from a different perspective, go check out Little Men opening up this week. But if you're in it just for the action and explosions, make sure to check out the latest superhero flick, Suicide Squad, starring Will Smith, Jared Leto, and Margot Robbie.
Yeah, this looks good.
This looks really good. I love the swagger that the trailers have, the attitude that they're bringing. For those of you that are unfamiliar with Suicide Squad, the U.S. government creates a team of supervillains to work as anti-heroes to sort of keep things under control. And, of course, things probably go horribly, horribly wrong as the Joker gets involved. I think Batman makes an appearance in this movie as well.
Yep.
So they're pulling out all the stops for this movie. This is one of those moments where it's like, this is what superhero movies need. Everybody's all goody two shoes, but then Deadpool comes out, now Suicide Squad comes out. These anti-heroes that are tongue in cheek, that are crass, they don't care about being the good guys. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Go check out DC's latest movie, Suicide Squad, opening in theaters this week.
Squid Squad.
You know what? I hope there's no tongue twisters, though, when it comes to TV this week, because the 2016 Summer Olympics are starting this Friday on NBC. I always like watching the Olympics. I think it's going to be fun. Go, you know, check it out. I know you're not a big fan of it, Rich, but go check it out. Support good old USA, trying to win some gold medals and prove that we're the best country in the whole damn world, right? Because that's what the Olympics does. I always thought that's weird. People are like, oh, we're good in the Olympics. We're the best country ever.
Team USA, you better win. You bumped my golf.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. After taking away Rich's golf, not taking it away, but rushed it a little
bit. Yeah, rushed it.
Those bastards.
Felt like I didn't enjoy it.
Oh, please. Go check out the 2016 Summer Olympics starting this Friday on NBC. In the world of video games, the Telltale Batman series is coming out on basically every console except Nintendo systems. I don't know why Nintendo always gets the shaft when it comes to third-party games. But if you're into Telltale's style of point-and-click adventure gaming, story-driven, choice-driven gameplay, make sure you check out this new Batman series. They have a lot of interesting new features, such as a unique twist on multiplayer, where people can vote on what choices you make, and then you can either go with the fans' decision or go against it. So it's not multiplayer in the traditional sense, but it's a way that fans can get involved in other people's games and feel like they have some sort of input or engagement. Elsewhere in video games, Abzu is coming out on PlayStation 4 and PC. This is a quirky, peaceful little indie game made by the same developers that made Flower and Journey. It allows you to become a scuba diver and explore these vast underwater worlds. A lot of mystery going on as well, but all the music and screens and videos I've seen have all been very peaceful and relaxing. The perfect summer title to unwind with.
What video game developer is this?
This is, let me find that out for you, it is Giant Squid Studios.
I want to know what drugs they're taking, and I would like some immediately.
They're probably taking some pretty powerful drugs.
Yeah.
So just to be clear, these are the people from the studio that made Flower and Journey, not the same studio itself.
Still, give me their drugs.
Yeah, give me the... Yeah.
because they are happy.
They are very happy.
They are some happy mofos.
If you guys have ever played Flower or Journey, you know what you're in for. It's a very stylistic, very peaceful, serene sort of...
Not a care in the world.
Yeah, very surreal experiences.
No drama whatsoever.
Exactly. That's what it's all about. Just relaxing.
So, I want that. Give me those drugs.
So, not the game, but just the drugs that help make the game.
Right.
Okay. And finally, in games, remember that a new month equals new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers. PlayStation Plus gets a cool one. Rebel Galaxy is coming to PlayStation Plus for PlayStation 4. It is an open world space pirate flight sim type game. Big, expansive universe to explore and shoot all their enemy ships. You know, you get to control your own dreadnought. Seems really cool. So go download it. That if you have PlayStation Plus. And finally, to wrap up this week in entertainment, something a little different. In the world of books, the 8th Harry Potter book has finally come out, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. It's a stage play, so it's not a book proper, but I've already got my copy. I'm very excited to sink my teeth into this and see what it's all about.
But it's like the unofficial 8th Harry Potter
book. It is like the unofficial 8th Harry Potter. It's set 19 years after the 7th Harry Potter book. It follows Harry Potter and his job at the Ministry of Magic, but also I think one of his sons, I think his youngest son, is having some trouble at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. So you guys are going to have to get the book and find out for yourselves what happens to Harry Potter and his son in this unofficial 8th book. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that recap in this week in entertainment. We're cutting the entertainment entree short because we are going to get right to our interview in the side dish. So let's launch the side dish. Woo, side dish. Yeah, this is the side dish is essentially something that we want to discuss that doesn't fall into sports, entertainment, or the odd news.
Although I would say that this fits pretty well with entertainment, though.
It does.
Because the person we'll be interviewing.
It does. It falls within the realm. So we decided to stick the interview after the entertainment entree. And it is a call-in, so I get to play the call-on-me music! Woo! Yeah! I love this music!
Yeah!
Because... hey, we're getting a caller on the line.
That's right.
So we
this is the
play.
Only reason we have people call, is to play this music.
Yeah, you know, we actually don't do interviews for the interviewer's sake. No, we just want to play the call on me music. But it is catchy.
It is catchy.
Call on me. But there is a reason. It is because we do have a caller coming in on the line. It's Bob Haig, one of the co-founders of the 24-hour game show marathon that we were a part of 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And... he's going to be on an episode of the $100,000 pyramid on ABC, which
wow,
is
that's awesome.
Which is we're having a television star,
a real life television star here on the podcast.
That's right. I can't believe we got him on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. It is my honor to welcome Bob Haig to the side dish.
Woo, yeah,
Bob. Thank you. How you doing?
Thank you I'm great. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Yeah, no, our pleasure. There's so many things I want to talk to you about, but the first one that I would be remiss if we forgot is the game show marathon.
Yes.
First off, we hit $6,200 this year, the most successful game show marathon ever. It was such a blast. I want to thank you guys for allowing me to be a part of it. What were your first impressions of this year's marathon?
Well, so this is the second time we did the marathon in Philadelphia, in the Philadelphia region. We did it at the New Ground Studio. One of my other colleagues for the marathon, Corey Anitato, he was able to talk to Tom, the CEO of New Grounds, to have us down here for the second time. And I knew going in, because we did this 2 years ago, I believe, at New Ground Studio, and we had so much fun because you have these amazing gaming seats you just lounge on. You had this giant projection. You have surround sound audio. I just knew it was going to just blow it out of the water this year. So doing it again in the same venue with the giant space and everything, it was great. And going on our fifth year, every year we try to step it up in terms of the quality, so the video, the audio, the software, and I think we did it again. I think we topped ourselves in all of those areas, because at the end of the day, people were having fun. We raised a lot of money. We played some amazing games, amazing moments throughout the games themselves. And I really wouldn't mind if we kept it in Pennsylvania going forward. I just love the venue. It's easy for everyone to come down to. We have people come from New York, people south of Philly. I'm in Texas. I came out from Texas to come do the marathon. It's a great location, and I really am just happy we smashed records and we had a good time doing it.
Oh, that would be music to my ears.
Well, I like the idea of keeping it close by, because that means I could stop by again.
Yeah, this is in Mike's backyard.
This is in both of our backyard, really.
Yeah.
Hey, well, the year before this, we did it in my house. It was like, let's just have a house party.
Which, that was fun. That was fun. I slept in your kitchen.
Exactly. You slept in my kitchen, and I can be, I think, one of the very few people in this country to say I had a Jeopardy Tournament of Champion winner sleep in my kitchen.
That's right. That was awesome. We'll see where the future leads for the game show marathons, but, you know, hey, if you want to keep it in Philadelphia, we would love it here on the Crispy Noodle.
Yeah.
You know, I do want to give a quick shout-out for the game show marathon to, like I said, Corey Annotato, Christian Carrion. The three of us have been given so much support over the years doing this, including you, Rich, and everyone with the podcast and all our friends and family. It's been an amazing journey, and we can't wait to do it for 5 more years.
Yeah, all right. I like the sound of that.
There you go.
Do 5 more years. So as a fellow game show fanatic, here's something that I actually have not gotten the chance to ask you, which I can't believe this. We've done the Game Show Marathon for 3 years now. I have not gotten a chance to ask you this. Bob, what is your favorite game show?
Favorite game show. It's going to be...
Tough question.
It's always between two. And when I say one of them, I'm not being biased when I say it because of a certain reason why I'm saying it.
Yes, of course.
But it's really a toss-up between... the pyramid show, whether it's, you know, $10,000 pyramid, $25,000 pyramid, $100,000 pyramid, just the pyramid show itself, and Press Your Luck. I always go back and forth between those two. I think pyramid is just one of those games where anyone can play. It's easy to play at home. It's addictive. It has, I think, the best bonus round in any game show. With the winner's circle, and Press Your Luck is just adrenaline to its highest level. It's exciting. It's tense. It's a game that can change with just one spin of the board. It's very exciting. So I think between those two games, and when people ask me that question, I always go back and forth between Press Your Luck and the Pyramid. But I will say the Pyramid edges out slightly just because it's.
You're on it.
You can say it.
Yes. But that's also music to my ears, because Press Your Luck is my favorite game show. So right now you're hitting home runs here, as far as I'm concerned, this interview. But you do bring up the Pyramid, and this is something that I'm excited for you. I can't believe you had the opportunity to do this. You're a contestant on the $100,000 Pyramid. The air date is Sunday, August 14th. 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central Time. So first off, how did you hear that they were casting for $100,000 Pyramid, and who gave you like the final push that like you need to do this, Bob?
Okay. So myself, Chris, Corey, and our friend Alex Davis, we run a game show blog called Buzzer Blog. And, you know, we're always following these media outlets for game show news for us to push to our readers on our website and social media, and there was rumors that ABC was reviving a game show based off of the success of Celebrity Family Feud from last summer. And, you know, word comes that it's Pyramid. I believe it broke in January, and casting was going up. Michael Strahan was the host. It's in New York City, and I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. I want to give this a shot. The next day, I filled out the application. I had my assistant at work take 2 photos of me for the show. I submitted the application at about 5 p.m. 3 weeks go by, fast forward, I'm driving home, and I stopped at Dunkin' Donuts to get some coffee, and my phone goes off, and it's the casting producer, and she goes, Bob, you're on the show. And I think I screamed for a good 5 minutes in my car when I got that. And then that's, you know, 2 weeks later, I'm in New York City taping the show, and just like that, it all came full circle, and just like that, it was over in an instant. So, but it was an amazing experience just to be selected. There's 40 contestants total in this season.
Oh, yeah. And that's right, because they only do two a show, right?
Yeah, yeah. So there's it's just 10 weeks of shows, and there's four contestants each week. And to be one of the 40 selected out of thousands, maybe even 5,000, 10,000 people, it's just, you're already a winner in that sense, because you got to the point where you're on the show playing the game, playing an iconic game called the $100,000 Pyramid in New York City. I don't think it gets better than that. I mean, winning the money, yeah, absolutely, but just being on that stage, playing that game with celebrities, you have Michael there too, the audience, it was...
Yeah, the real deal.
I wouldn't trade it in for anything else in the world.
So how was Michael Strahan?
Really tall.
That's a good answer.
He's tall, very soft hands. I have to say, that man moisturizes. And he is down to earth, one of the nicest people I've met. Before the show, he came up to Logan and I. Logan Bazan is my opponent on the show. She's fantastic. Before the show, Michael comes up to us, wishes us good luck. After the show, I'm talking to Michael. I'm like, Michael, I'm a New York Giants fan. Just meeting you is just amazing. And, you know, he really liked that. He wanted a picture with me. He wanted to take a picture with
that's
me.
That's awesome.
I didn't even request it. But he was, you know, and he, during the game, he makes the contestants excited to be there. He'll poke fun at you in all good laughter and good humor. He really feeds off the celebrities. He feeds off the players. He's there. He wants people to win lots of money. Very genuine. And I'm just happy I got to meet him.
That's awesome. That's great. You want to hear that out of a game show host, someone who really interacts with the contestants and with the audience. So that's good to hear. Any insight as to how well you did? I know you got to be very careful with your words, so I'll give you some time. but how much can you reveal before the air date?
So I really can't reveal the outcome of the games,
right?
But since since the press release went out, I can say that the celebrities I played with were Terry Polo. She was in Meet the Parents, and she's on the Fosters TV show. And then Zachary Levi, and he runs the Nerd Machine also, which is great. So Zachary and Terry, Logan and I played with them. Other than that, I really can't go over how much of the gameplay there was. You just have to watch and see. At the end of the day, it's great television. I think I hit the desk with my head at one point. I think I also jumped out of my seat at one point.
All right.
So yeah, there's some good moments on the show to look forward to.
Okay. Right. Sounds very promising if you're jumping out of your seat then.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And Zachary and Terry, they're just amazing folks. Right before I got off the stage, I shook Zachary's hand. Terry pulled me aside, gave me a big hug. Because the celebrities want you to win money. And when you don't do well in a round, or if you don't go to the winner's circle, you can see the disappointment in their face. And what I've noticed in the last couple of weeks, a lot of celebs are saying, well, I'm here for perfection. We only accept perfection. And they really want to beat their opponent, celebrity opponent, and they want to win a lot of money for the civilian contestants. So it's a fun – it's going to be a fun hour. My game is in the second half hour, so the show starts at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Around 9:30, my episode will kick in. But watch the full hour, because there's a lot of great contestants, a lot of excitement to watch. And
I mean, if you're a game show fanatic, you're already watching the whole hour. So
yeah.
So I know that Michael Strahan was there to sort of put you at ease, and the celebrities were very welcoming, but it must be very nerve-wracking to appear on a show like that. Did you do anything to prepare or mentally steel yourself?
Is this really a game you can prepare for?
The best way to prepare for a game like this is to, if you see a word printed somewhere, you try to come up with the best one sentence clue for that word. So if I see the word house, you know, I would say, oh, this is another word for home. Or if I'm driving down the road and I see the word exit, like on the highway, I can think, oh, the opposite of enter is blank. So you try to come up with these sentences and these descriptions in your head while you're in the everyday world. And then, of course, playing just with your friends. So when I got the call to be on the show, I went on Amazon to find the home game so I can play it.
Oh, okay.
The only one I can find that was the cheapest, and by cheap, I was like $40 for a board game, was the Donny Osmond version of the show.
What?
Like the 2000s. So I got that one, and I started practicing winner's circles, which is the real place where you make the money on the show, with my friends Corey and Chris that I mentioned from the Game Show Marathon. I practiced with my sister and her boyfriend. I practiced with some friends back at the News and Observer in Raleigh. A little shout out there to everyone there. And then even when I'm going out for a walk, and I know Christian and I did this, we would text each other back and forth clues to winner's circles just randomly, and we would guess what it is. And then playing like catchphrase or a random word generator that they can find online, just trying to go through as many as you can and trying to prepare for that. And it can get you ready for the show, but once you're in that seat taping the show, pretty much everything you've done up to that point, it's thrown out the window, because when you're in the moment, things change. Sometimes you may forget the word, you may hesitate, you may say the word by accident and get buzzed for it. It's just, it plays with your mind when you're really doing it for real and you're playing the game for real money. So, but just preparing for the show is, you know, learning about opposites. That really helps out. So not mustard, but, and then ketchup. The answer would be ketchup.
Right, right. Yeah.
Not heaven, but hell. So knowing opposites. And my strategy was, I always wanted to give the clues, because you have the option to get the clues, and I always want to be in control. So I love giving the clues. I always wanted to find a way to convey the answer in a sentence with a blank. So if the answer was donuts, I can say Dunkin' blank and then get donuts. So I always try to lead them on with a blank or lead them on with a sentence to get them to say the word. So that was my optimal strategy for going into the show.
Now, that you can only do in the first round, though, right? You can't do that in the winner's circle.
Correct. So the first round, you really have 30 seconds to convey a word or name to your partner, seven of them in 30 seconds. And you can use your hands, you can use opposites, you can use sound effects, pretty much anything goes. And then the winner's circle, that's where things change. So
do they have the arm restraints?
They do.
Yes.
They do. So before
that's legit right there. I've never seen another game show where they have actual arm restraints.
Tie you down.
Yeah, before we taped, we all got to sit in the seat and put our arms through the straps to get the feeling for it. Because in the bonus round, you cannot use your hands, because you can only give a list of clues to your partner. So, quick example. So in the front game, you have categories, and Michael would say, "Okay, Bob, describe to your partner these things that are green." And I may have shamrock, I may have grass. In the winner's circle, it's flipped around. So we give you a category. They give you a category like, I'll take one from the other night, things you fold. So you can say clean laundry, for example. You can say a bad poker hand, your arms. The trick here is that you cannot use prepositions, because that's being too descriptive. So you can't say on. You can't say the. So you can't say your clean clothes on a table. That would give you a buzz because you said on. It's too descriptive. So you can only list things. You can't use your arms. That's pretty – it's a really tough round, because that giant pyramid is intimidating. You have you have 60 seconds, but to know that you're only six steps away from a lot of money, it's you can one slip up and the big money is gone.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You really have to concentrate and try to paint a mental picture for your partner if you're giving the clues, and that's pretty much just the game itself.
And that's the route you went. You gave all the clues when you had the choice.
Correct. Yeah. So okay. Whether I was in the main game, I was given the clues. If I got to the winner's circle, my goal is to always give the clues. If I got to the winner's circle, and the last couple of weeks, I believe so far every civilian contestant has been given the clues in the winner's circle, and there's been some big winners because of that. So
yeah,
that's my strategy going into the show.
So you need word association. You need to know grammar, what a preposition is. And there's this whole meta game going on. More homework.
Exactly. And it's all about communication. And this is why it's a fun game to play at home, because you can just take a piece of tape, put it over your TV, hide the word, and play along. And you try to say, oh, I have a better clue for that word. And you try to give you better clues for that. But it's all about communication. And I think what makes the game work really well is having that civilian player and celebrity joining forces to be the best team there is that night and to see who can get the most points and which team can win the most money. After the taping of the show, my parents were in the audience, my mom, my dad, my sister, and my sister's boyfriend. And the first thing I said to my parents after the taping was, did I make you guys proud? And that was the first thing I said to them. And when my dad told, because everything was a blur, my dad was like, Bob, every time a word came on the screen, you had something. So I knew that I kept the flow going. I kept the momentum going. And that's why he was happy for that. So
that's good. Yeah, you don't want to freeze up.
Exactly. Keep it moving. And there are times where, yeah, your mind will go blank. It does happen. You know what? You say pass. Play the next word, and then at this time left, you come back to the word. So just, you know, and the tough thing is that when we're playing the game, we don't see a clock. We only see the word. So we don't know how much time is left in the round. So we have to use our intuition. If we know the word's taking too long, just pass right away and hope you get back to it. So that was the tricky part of the show, is not knowing how much time we had during the game.
Okay, interesting. I didn't think that part through. The contestant wouldn't know how much time's left. Huh, interesting.
Yeah.
Here's a question I do want to ask you. Other than Pyramid, have you been on any other game shows?
I was on a show back in 2007 called Chain Reaction.
It was I played that on the Game Show Marathon.
And you know, I was 19 at the time. It was like my two friends and I from college, and that also taped in New York, and I lived in Connecticut, so it was easy to head up the train, go down, tape, come back home. You know, it wasn't a big money show. It was just going on, having fun, and it was a good experience to be on that show. And then since then, I really haven't been on a TV game show as a contestant. I submitted a video question to the show called Trivial Pursuit America Plays, where all the questions are asked by people with a webcam, and I got some money out of that because the in-studio player lost. So that was pretty cool.
Hey, it's still money, right?
It's still money, yeah. And what else? What else? And I also tried out for the Million Second Quiz. I wasn't on TV, but I got to play a game, and I lost. But it was still exciting. But
yeah, you still got to have the experience.
Exactly. So really, Pyramid is the second game show I appeared as a contestant on, and I don't think it's gonna be my last. I want to continue moving forward and try to find out what the next one is.
Awesome. I gotta ask this. Game shows are such a big part of your life, obviously, with the 24-hour game show marathon. You mentioned you do a blog with game shows, but
yeah.
How did you get started? What first inspired you to devote so much time into game shows? What first intrigued you about them?
You know, I think when I was young, I remember at a young age, I used to watch a lot of classic TV, everything from the late night talk shows, Carson, and then even the sitcoms like I Love Lucy, Honeymooners. And then I started watching the old game shows back in the 60s and 70s and then the 80s. Because I think as a kid, I just liked, you know, the lights, the sounds, the applause. I just really enjoyed that. The sound of the wheel clicking and wheel clicking. As a kid, it's mesmerizing. That's how I learned math is wheel of fortune. Wow. You land on a dollar value. There's five of these letters. What's five times the space you landed on? That's how I learned my math is just learning just to multiply numbers and the alphabet and spelling. So as I got older, I just really got more into game shows because it was true reality TV because you had real people playing for real money to change their lives. And as I got older, I got more interested in, okay, how do game shows get on the air? Why is this show successful? How do they put on a game show? And that's been the evolution of my interest in shows. Even to this day, I still like a good show with, you know, some good music, some excitement, some drama. But I always like the concept of the business, you know, what goes into making a game show, the journey, and then being a contestant, learning what does it take to be on a game show. And it's just one of it's that type of television entertainment that I enjoy the most because, again, it's real. It's exciting. It can be captivating. You can learn something from some shows. And I think it's just and they are cheap to produce. That's why you see a lot of game shows on.
is true.
Yeah.
It's very cheap. Like over in England, they're pumping out, you know, new shows every single year to see what sticks and what doesn't. And if it's a good show, then they'll commission it for a series of episodes. But writing about TV shows, learning about just entertainment, the TV in general, is what sparked my interest in game shows. And it's just interesting. It's cool to see the evolution of it back from, like I said, the 50s and the 60s. And then seeing we went through that millionaire phase in the late 90s, early 2000s. And then it kind of dipped a little bit, then it picked back up, then it dipped a little bit. And now we've been seeing the past couple of weeks with Family Feud, The Pyramid Show, and Match Game that they've been having good ratings on Sunday nights.
It's the revival.
Yeah,
it's showing that game shows still have a place in TV. I know NBC has a show called The Wall, which was taped back late last year. That should be airing this year sometime. We don't know when. But network TV game shows are starting to pick up a little more steam now. We're in that phase where they're becoming more popular and people really like watching them. And hopefully that means more shows, giving more people opportunities to go on and change their lives, which would be cool.
I really like that idea, though, that you mentioned about these game shows being actual reality TV, I guess more real than what we would consider reality TV. Do you think that has something to do with it? Like this post-American Idol, you know, competition talent shows dipping down. Do you think that clears the way for more game shows now?
I really do. And I think, you know, with all the depressing, you know, stories in the news that we've been facing, you know, past couple of months, even past couple of years, you know, game shows offer a way to escape from the real world a little bit and just have fun for an hour. Whether you're watching Price is Right or Let's Make a Deal or Jeopardy, it's just good television. It's fun. And I get enjoyment watching someone win a lot of money on TV because you can sense that it's going to really help them. They have genuine feelings. And I believe the future is still bright for game shows. I think there'll be new shows coming out in the future. Maybe there'll be shows being revived like Match Game and like the $100,000 Pyramid going forward. But to your point, I think it's the truest sense in reality television because these people are on here because they want to have a good time. They want to win a little bit of cash to change their lives. And going back to what I said, it's fun. It takes out from the hustle and bustle of a busy day. It takes you away from reading about, you know, horrible news going on in the country and the world, and just puts you in this bubble of happiness and joy for, like I said, a half hour, an hour, and you just have a good time playing. You play at home, And then I think what's cool about it also is that someone sitting at home saying, I can do that. And the thing is that you can't do that. There are ways to go on these shows and prove that you can be the one to beat the game or take home a lot of money or just have a good time. It gives people an opportunity to say, I can do this from their couch to I can do this from standing behind a podium or sitting on a chair. So it's really a fun time to be around, I think, right now.
One last question before we have to end the interview. What would you say for budding upcoming game show contestants? Do you have any advice for up and comers that may want to apply?
Well, the youngins. Shameless plug, on my freelance on bugtheblog.com, we have a little guide on how to get on a game show. We actually talked to a lot of past game show contestants and casting producers. There's a really and they give good advice on what to expect at the audition, and once you get that call, what's next. So if you go to buzzerblog.com, we have a section called How to Get on a Game Show. I think it's buzzerblog.com/get-on, G-E-T-O-N, all one word. Check it out. But I think my personal response to that is, for people who want to go on game shows, is be yourself. Always have one or two good stories that you can tell. If you have a good story you tell with your family, with your friends, bring that with you when you talk to the casting folks. Smile, be positive, know the game you're applying for. If you know you're applying for Jeopardy, know how the game works. Know how that you have to begin every response with what is or who is, because that's the game. But again, coming back to yourself, a lot of game shows may have a written test, but if you're boring and dull, they're not going to select you. So
okay, so you got to be exciting, got to be unique, and got to be yourself.
Yes.
All right, so there you go.
Excellent advice.
Bob, you're one of those guys I could talk to for like the whole night. I really could.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're just so friendly, so personable. You and Corey and Christian welcomed me into your game show family, and I really appreciate that.
As a first timer this past time, thank you so much for an awesome time. It was fantastic to stop by.
Absolutely. We love bringing new people to come down and just play games for a good cause, raise money to help a charity. I mean, it's a win-win for everyone because we have a good time doing it.
Yeah. So it was just one of those things that, I saw you at the Game Show Marathon. You have Pyramid coming up. Figured we have to get Bob on. So, Bob, it was great to talk to you here on the Side Dish. Make sure to check out Pyramid on Sunday, August 14th, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. Bob Egg is going to be on it. I want to see what he does. Yeah. All right. So, Bob, thank you for allowing us to talk your ear off a little bit in the Side Dish.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Oh, no, it was our pleasure.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you later, Bob.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, see you later, Bob.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, man, Bob, I love talking to him. Again, he's just one of those guys that you could just talk to for hours on hours and you wouldn't get boring or anything.
He's got great stories. He makes great points about the state of television. A lot of great stuff packed into that interview, I think.
Yeah, and I'm glad that we were able to finally get him on the show. He's just a great guy all around.
Definitely.
Loved it. But folks, that's going to conclude it for this part of the show. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, I have your batch of odd news that you need to listen to.
Yeah.
And I definitely have some doozies you're going to want to find out more about in the non-fortune cookie odd news. So don't go away. Still more show to come. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A California man is accused of assaulting a woman while wearing a pink Barbie costume.
Of course.
The victim was using the restroom when the suspect entered her stall dressed like Barbie. I was looking and I saw 2 feet slowly planted on the floor, and they were a man's bare feet. She noted that the suspect was wearing a Barbie outfit. Luckily, the victim fought back and managed to escape. Schwartz ran out soon after, and when a security guard tried to confront him, Schwartz allegedly threatened to stab him with a screwdriver.
That's very Barbie-like of him.
Yeah.
You know, they always have a Barbie for, like, every single job.
Yeah, there you go. Criminal assault Barbie.
Criminal assault Barbie.
In a criminal world, assaulting people in the bathroom.
I have a screwdriver. I'm gonna stab you in the eye.
Get out of my way. Need to make an escape.
Come on, Barbie. Let's do crime. This is criminal assault Barbie. Yeah, she comes with a removable screwdriver, but no shoes apparently.
No,
doesn't know how to accessorize, I guess.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
I gotta get the crispy noodle podcast. Oh my god! I gotta hit the crispy noodle podcast. They said podcast.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, rocking and rolling. What a great interview we had from Bob Hay.
That was a lot of fun.
It was good to talk to him and go over some fond memories over the game show marathon and his upcoming appearance on Pyramid.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see him. I get to see him on television.
It's going to be strange to see somebody. I don't know him that well, but I met him. So to see somebody on TV that I've met in person.
I slept in his kitchen.
Yeah, you can say that you slept in a TV star's kitchen.
Yeah, all right.
There you go.
So that'll be interesting to watch. Make sure you tune in for Bob's appearance on ABC's Pyramid. But now it is time to get to the final portion of our show. Isn't that right, Mike?
Oh, boy. Yes, it is. And this one, it is always a doozy. I hope you guys are ready for one of my...
To say the least.
It's a doozy. It certainly is. It's time for the Wacky the Wild, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part.
Back,
never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
Woo! Yeah, time for some odd news.
Oh, boy. That's right, everybody. It's time for another edition of the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. In this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds these weird and wacky stories. He keeps them hidden from me, so I've never seen them before. All my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to my first time hearing these stories. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And Rich, he doesn't even know what's about to happen.
Not really.
Because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, once I read the stories, it's out there.
They always take very, very strange odd turns. So yeah. With that being said, I'm ready to dive in. What do we got this week?
All right. You know what? I'm going to start off with this one. I think you're going to get a kick out of this one.
Okay.
A judge, this is in Michigan.
Okay.
A judge has ruled that a man in Columbiaville, Michigan is going to stand trial for a crime that seems... that it was inspired by a Seinfeld episode.
Oh, my.
Yeah, bringing Seinfeld into the mix. How do you like this?
This cannot be good because Seinfeld and his buddies did some crazy things.
Brian Edward Everidge is accused of bringing 10,000 bottles and aluminum cans in a budget box truck into Michigan, where the deposit is 10 cents higher
That's amazing.
Than his home state of Kentucky.
Wow. So Newman did that.
Yeah.
In Seinfeld.
And Kramer.
Yeah. They packed a mail truck, right?
Yeah.
Full of bottles and stuff.
Well, and this guy did it with a budget box truck.
So wait, why is that a crime?
Well, hard to believe.
This doesn't make any sense. He's just recycling. That he should be given a medal, if anything.
Hard to believe, but this is actually true. I kid you not. There is a federal law that states it is illegal to return bottles that a personally knowingly did not get from the state.
What?
Yeah.
How can you prove that? You could be like, well, I mean, that's just stupid.
Yep.
Come on, really?
It is an actual federal law.
What happens if you live just over the state line of Michigan?
Technically, that's illegal.
That's stupid.
Yep.
I'm just going to say, that's stupid. That's a federal law?
It is yeah.
That's stupid. They're wasting time making federal laws about, oh, don't return this can to Michigan if you live in the next state over. Don't you think they have more pressing matters?
Well, unfortunately, the government doesn't see it that way. Brian Edward Everidge is charged with one count of beverage return of non-refundable bottles, which is, I swear this is in the news report, it is a felony.
What?
Yeah. He could face a $5,000 fine and up to 5 years behind bars.
5 years for returning a bottle to a different state from where it was bought?
10,000 bottles. It is a lot, but still. Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems unreasonable to me. Why are you going to waste everybody's time and energy convicting this person of bringing these bottles to a different state? And also, is there a number of bottles? There's like a threshold. If it's five bottles, that's okay. If it's six bottles, that's okay. Seven bottles, oh, that's where we draw the line. Like, what is the limit of bottles? You say because it was 10,000. If it was 9,999, he would have been okay.
That's what the song is for. 95,000 bottles of 95. Beer for the wall. 95. I did to do my math right.
No, it's just 9,000
right now. I don't care. Recycle those bottles in Michigan. There you go. That's my version of the song.
That's if you've already finished the 99 bottles.
Yeah.
And you can't remember what song you were singing.
Officer Clifford Leiden pulled over Everidge, who noticed a lot of plastic bags filled with aluminum cans, more than 10,000 in total. Leiden testified in court last week that Everidge told him the returnables were from Lexington, Kentucky. The officer said that Everidge had implied that he was going to return them for deposit money. If that was his intention, he would have made more than $1,000.
Oh, God forbid he makes a little bit of money recycling.
But his defense attorney, Marcus Wilcox, says that he's going to fight this because the client never actually told the cops that he was going to return the thousands of cans and bottles in Michigan and that he actually never committed the act. In essence, the police caught him too early.
That's interesting. That's also true.
So maybe he will get off on this.
I like that. I mean, yeah, he didn't do anything wrong.
Well, yeah, first off,
he was driving around with bottles in his backseat.
First off, yeah, Meta, this is not wrong. This should not be a crime.
It is a stupid
felony.
Yeah, that is absurd.
Yeah, why is this a felony?
Maybe fine. Maybe a fine. A $50 fine. Or you have to pay. How about this? 50% of whatever you make, you have to pay back in fine. That seems fair, right?
Yeah, not $5,000.
Yeah, that's insane. And up to 5 years, Rich.
Yeah, behind bars, if he gets a strict judge. But I don't know. I think that the lawyer has a good case, because he never actually
did anything.
Right.
No, because then they'll charge him with conspiracy to return bottles. Or, you know, attempted bottle return. Ooh.
Attempted bottle return. That could actually be a felony. Jesus Christ.
Attempted bottle return in the first degree. You know, like, it is absurd.
Yes, it is.
I can't believe we have laws about returning bottles.
Yeah. Yeah, go figure. But
that is mildly infuriating.
Yep. But on the humorous side, it was inspired by Seinfeld. Go figure.
Do you think he watched Seinfeld and was like, oh, that's a good idea? and decided to do that.
Sure.
Because Kentucky to Michigan is a long way. So
it is. They're not next to each other.
Yeah. So I'm thinking maybe he did watch Seinfeld and got the idea from
it. Oh, by the way, Kentucky, you suck.
Why?
Kentucky doesn't pay anything for recycling.
Wow.
You bastards.
Yeah, that's really, that's not cool, man.
Yeah, come on.
What does Pennsylvania pay?
It's probably a nickel. Most states is a nickel.
I don't know. That's a good question.
But Michigan is higher. Michigan's 10 cents. Oh, you're checking.
I'm checking my water bottle. I don't see anything on it. I don't know.
All right.
How do you figure this stuff out? Somebody that's recycled bottles, help me figure this out. I'm confused. Right. I'm like looking at my bottle like all perplexed. Like,
yeah, this is only the first story, Mike. We still got a couple more.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
I know. I can't get this perplexed this early.
Yeah. So
it does not bode well.
How about we move on to the next story?
All right. What else you got?
All right. This next story is pretty weird. Going to the UK in this one.
Hello, governor.
Yep. I don't know how this is possible, but this is a real police report that came out of the UK. Police in Swindon said that they found 7 grams of cocaine stuffed into a small baggie that was inside a 24-year-old's foreskin.
Oh.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I mean, that's got to be uncomfortable.
It all began when Swindon police were called into a furniture store parking lot after getting calls of a man that was randomly shouting and disturbing customers in the parking lot.
Okay.
When officers arrived, they found 24-year-old Joshua Hare running around naked and screaming at people. I just love this image. Like, why are you screaming? What are you doing?
Why do you have to take your clothes off to scream at people? Why is that everybody's first reaction? Like, I need to scream. Oh, better take my clothes off.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
The clothes hinder your ability to scream is what it is.
And what are you screaming at them about? Like, you don't know these people. What have they done?
What is leading up to the screaming?
Yeah.
Ah! It's just one of those, you're just having a bad day. You decide, you know what, why a furniture store parking lot?
Yeah.
Is that like a hot spot for drug deals?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Meet me down at Raymore and Flanagan. Like,
new reason to come down to Raymore and Flanagan.
Yeah.
To get your drug deals at Raymore and Flanagan's.
What a catchy jingle, Rich.
Yeah, it's coming soon.
Coming soon. What, the jingle or the drug dealer?
Both.
This is the press release to let people know about the new ad campaign.
Yeah. He put up a struggle before he was taken into custody and taken to a local hospital. While he was in custody, a baggie containing white powder, this is in the police report, quote, began to emerge from his
Holy mother of God, what is that?
From his foreskin.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
It began to emerge.
Yep.
You gotta think, the cops have so much fun writing those reports, don't they?
Yeah. This is also great too. Hare's defense attorney named Nick Redhead, that's his real name, Nick okay. Redhead, told the court that his client is homeless and has a troubled background.
No kidding. He's shouting at he's naked and shouting at people in a furniture store parking lot. He's got drugs stuck in his foreskin.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hare pleaded guilty to both the drug charge and failing to surrender as punishment. Okay. He has 12 weeks in jail and slapped with a 151-pound fee.
Time out.
How did they get
time out. 12 weeks in jail? And if you take a bottle to Michigan, you get 5 years? How does that even make sense?
Yeah.
And also, this dude was naked, yelling at people.
With cocaine.
With cocaine in his foreskin.
Yep.
12 weeks.
12 weeks and $151.
That's like an extended vacation.
Or 151 pounds. Sorry.
151 pounds. How much is that in dollars? I don't even know.
Slightly higher, 200
Nothing.
Bucks.
200 bucks.
How did you get to 151 pounds?
What's the one for?
I know. What's the one for?
It's 150 for everything else, and the one was just because we hate you.
Just because you put in your foreskin, man.
Yeah. Ow. If it had been anywhere else, we would have knocked the dollar off.
Yeah, all right. You're making the up the butt story seem normal now.
Hoo-ah! Oh, God. Don't tell me we're going to have like a string of stories where people hide stuff in their foreskins.
I don't know. I hope not. If so, we're going to need another sound clip.
I mean, are people like running out of places to stick things in?
I guess so.
Whatever happened to pockets?
Yeah.
Do you have pockets, Rich?
I do. I have pockets.
What's wrong with pockets? They're so convenient.
You'd think so. But apparently to some,
it's just not enough.
No, it's just
they
not.
Need something more secure.
That's right.
So it goes up the butt, in the veg, tucked in the foreskin.
Tucked in the foreskin. That's the new one.
It's the new one, yeah.
Tucked away in the foreskin.
God. It's gross. Would you want cocaine that's been somewhere like that?
No. Please, God, no. All right, ready for our next story here?
Yeah.
All right, going to New York in this one. This is weird to imagine, but this is true. Environmental authorities in New York State have concluded that hot and dry weather conditions caused a large pile of horse poop to explode.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
It exploded?
Yes.
How does that work?
The State Department of Environmental Conservation. I don't know why I couldn't read that.
You just can't get the idea of horse crap exploding.
This is bothering me.
Yeah.
The State Department of Environmental Conservation said an officer responded to the town of Thorpe. Town names, man.
Thorpe.
He responded to the town of Thorpe.
Did they let a 5-year-old name that town or something? Thorpe? Hey, Billy, awesome. What do you want to name the town? I want to name it Thorpe. Okay. How do you spell Thorpe?
Throwp. Thorpe.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
So anyway, the State Department of Environmental Conservation investigated complaints about a foul odor and smell coming from a large pile of burning horse manure. The officer discovered the owners of a stable had been storing the horse feces in large piles. The owners said that the piles had, quote, spontaneously combusted.
Wow.
But the smells and smoke had been carried away to nearby residences by the wind. Worst neighbors ever.
So wait, back up. They were. Did you say they were burning it, or
it exploded
spontaneously
on its,
combusted?
Yeah, it exploded on its own.
So, how does it do that though? I'm still confused. It just happens.
I have no idea. The fire department said that the flames spread dangerously close to a valley full of dry vegetation and dead trees.
I guess it's just like dried, like really dry, like
methane. That's what it probably is. The methane. That's flammable.
And that can just catch on fire if it's really hot?
I guess if it's hot enough, and we've been having a heat wave the last 2 weeks.
And wait, where was this Thorpe? What state?
New York.
New York? Does it get really hot in New York, though?
Yeah. It's in our area.
It's not in our area, but it's...
It's in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Yeah, okay.
It took 3 local fire departments more than 2 hours to extinguish the burning manure. So, some problems there with your horse manure. Please stop storing it during the summer.
And why were they storing it? I guess they're...
I guess for manure?
For manure, I guess? I don't know.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Yeah.
All right, now... This is really unique. This is a unique case.
Okay.
Technically, it's a Florida story, but I'm not going to count it as an official Florida story, and you're going to find out why.
Okay. I'm confused.
Yeah,
but it takes place in Florida.
Yes, but it doesn't fall into our normal tradition of Florida news.
Did something good happen?
A Florida man who was arrested when police found suspected crystal meth on his floorboard... was cleared of all charges.
Wow.
He said at the time, "Officer, this is not crystal meth. This is leftover from my donut." And an actual test cleared him of the charges.
Wow.
For the first time ever, a Florida man's wacky excuse is actually true.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, it's from my donut. And the cop's like, yeah, right. Oh, crap. It actually is.
Yeah. I know my Florida stories. This seems like the beginning of one right now.
Yeah. We're going to be on that stupid podcast. No, you're not. Because the guy was telling the truth.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's
a positive outcome.
Yeah.
That never happens.
The police report of the incident in Orlando says that an officer who was staking out a 7-Eleven suspected drug activity pulled over 64-year-old Daniel Rushing after he left the store for failing to make a complete stop out of the parking lot.
Wait, they pulled him over for that and suspected drugs instantly?
Well, yeah. I guess they're bored in Orlando.
Well, we don't got anything else to do. Let's pull over this guy and call him a druggie.
Captain Shelby Riggs Hopkins, an 8-year veteran of the police department, said that she asked Rushing to exit his vehicle when she noticed a concealed carry permit in his wallet and confirmed that he did have a gun on him. The officer then searched the car and then took, quote, a rock-like substance on the floorboard where his feet were. She claims that, quote, I recognize through my 11 years of training and experience as a Florida police officer that the substance had to be some sort of narcotic.
Oh, yeah.
She probably, in her defense, she probably saw a lot of crap in Florida for 11 years. That's when the driver identified to the police that it was glaze from his favorite Krispy Kreme donut. I kept telling them, dude, that's glaze from my donut. And she said, no, that's crystal meth.
No, that's crystal meth. Trust me, I'm a cop.
Officers then conducted tests that came back, that did not come back positive for illegal substances.
Did they then test it against donuts and realize, whoops, he was telling the truth?
The charges were then dropped when the Florida Department of Law Enforcement Crime Lab officially confirmed that Rushing had indeed been telling the truth.
That's amazing.
So for the first time ever, a wacky Florida excuse is true.
Wow.
That's why it's not a true Florida story.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's not a true Florida story. Wow. I mean, that gives me hope for humanity.
Well, don't worry. I got three Florida stories.
Oh, okay.
That will ruin that.
Okay.
Don't worry. This is once in a lifetime.
You see that little flicker of light there? We're going to snuff that out.
Yeah. This won't happen again.
Never, ever again.
This is once in a lifetime.
Well, it only took us 171 episodes to get there, right? 170, 171?
Yeah. Once in 171 weeks.
Wow. One good thing happened in Florida. The rest of it's just a living hell.
Yeah.
Outside of Disney World, it's just utter hell.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing though. I can't believe that. It's not meth, it's a donut.
And he was right.
Yeah, usually that ends up the other way around.
Yeah.
Usually they're like, oh, you know, making up some weird excuse about aliens or, oh, I can't even. Didn't somebody get a potato stuck up their butt and they said, oh, I fell on it or something?
Yeah, a priest did.
Yeah, that's right. Usually the excuse is like, okay, sure, right. You're just trying to save face, but it's not working. This one's true.
Yeah.
Ended up being true.
And he's acquitted.
You know what? What if the other ones were true too, Rich?
All this time.
Everybody in Florida is like, why do they think we're crazy? We're the most sane people ever. Poor naked people falling on potatoes all the time.
Who are priests? All right. How about this? Let's get to our actual Florida stories.
All right.
True Florida stories.
Okay.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right. Let me do this one first here. A Florida man that was headed for rehab on Tuesday night went to jail instead after he reportedly stopped at a pizza joint first to get his crack cocaine. You know, because you're this is it. Your last night, you need to binge out.
That's right.
It's like right before Lent, you know?
I'm gonna give up hardcore drugs for Lent, so I better go all out.
No, not the drugs. I meant, yeah, like, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Candy. It's usually candy.
No, it's drugs.
It's drugs.
25-year-old Fritz John Walter Jr. was arrested on charge. His first name is Fritz. What kind of name is that?
That is a weird name. Fritz. Fritz is on the Fritz. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, usually that's like something bad. Like, oh, my system's on the Fritz.
Yeah.
Like, why would you use that as a name?
Because they had a feeling that one day he was going to be arrested.
Oh, okay.
I guess. I don't know.
Well, 25-year-old Fritz John Walter Jr. was arrested on charges of disorderly intoxication. He was released Wednesday afternoon from the Lake County Jail after being sentenced to 6 months of probation on this charge. According to an arrest affidavit, police responded to Nikki D's Pizza Tuesday evening, where employees and customers complained that Walter had come there intoxicated and was, quote, looking for crack. Yeah, don't mind me. I'm just looking for crack. Is it underneath the table? Hello?
You make it sound like a scavenger hunt.
Yeah, that's what he says. He's looking for crack.
Looking for crack, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you happen to have any on you?
I know it's in here somewhere.
Yeah, the map says right here.
Yeah, don't hide it from me.
Someone's got it.
Pizza marks the spot. So it was a pizza place, right?
Nikki D's Pizza Place.
Nikki D's Pizza Place.
Police found Walter in the middle of Umatilla Boulevard carrying a full can of an alcoholic beverage in a brown paper bag. He then told officers that he was going to go to the rehabilitation center, but had several drinks in an attempt to get intoxicated before he wanted to admit himself.
Yeah, you're right. It's like one last hurrah.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Let me have this moment.
Yeah. Let me have this moment of alcoholism and drug addiction.
The affidavit adds that officers considered Walter a danger to himself because he then ran into lanes of oncoming traffic.
Fantastic.
Yeah, sure. Go all out.
Why not? You want to go? You got to go out with a bang, right?
You're only 25 once.
Well, if you keep acting like that, you're only going to be 25. You're not going to make it to 26. Oh, wow.
So
I think he's taking the statement "go out with a bang" a little too seriously.
Just a smidge. just a smidge.
Just a tiny bit.
All right, I got one more Florida story for you here. This one is short, but this one's funny to imagine. Here you go. A Florida man is accused of throwing an 11-year-old boy he was taking care of into an abandoned swimming pool because he had a dream that God told him he had to baptize the child immediately.
Okay. Okay, sure. But why do you have to throw the kid in the swimming pool? You could just get some water and pour it over his head.
No, it's not good enough.
That's not a real baptism, I guess. You need full body submersion.
Old school baptism.
Old school, that's right.
Poor
kid. He's like, why are you putting me in the pool? Be quiet! God needs me to baptize you.
Volusia County Sheriff's deputy said that 51-year-old Henry Love was arrested on a child abuse charge. Love told investigators that, quote, God awakened me.
Oh, my God.
It's God. So God bothered him in his sleep. Like, yeah. Hey, what are you doing?
God's like, come on, wake up.
I need you to do something.
Go away. Wake up now.
I need you to do something.
I love that idea that God's like pestering him to wake up.
Yeah.
God's like the annoying alarm clock.
Love told investigators God, quote, awakened him and then told him that he had to baptize the child immediately. I couldn't wait.
They couldn't know. Baptism has to happen right then and there.
The arrest report says that Love took the boy next door to an abandoned swimming pool filled with algae and bugs.
Oh.
And threw him into the pool. Then took
his
hand.
Did that kid resist?
I guess not. Maybe he was asleep too.
That's kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
Just take a sleeping kid, dump him in a pool.
He then took his hand and dunked him several times underneath the water.
That's not, I mean, there's so many other places you can baptize somebody.
Yeah.
The kitchen sink, a bathtub, if you're really desperate, a toilet.
Yeah, the toilet might have been more sanitary than this.
Yeah, get your little scrubby brush, clean it out a little bit, you know?
The boy's mother then took him to an urgent care center where doctors found he had a complete eye and ear and sinus infection.
Yep, that'll do it. Let me tell you, pools like that are really gross. I used to work with pools.
Yeah, that's right. You did.
And I had to deal with a pool that was like full on, like green, like really green, like forest green. It reeks. Oh my God, it was awful. I had to stick my hand in there. I can't imagine being submerged in
there. Yeah, and this guy's forcing an 11-year-old boy to,
that's awful.
Be dunked.
That's not cool.
Hey, God told him to do it.
God's a jerk.
Damn it, God.
Could have at least cleaned the pool. If he can turn, what is it, 7 fish into like 100 fish or something? Didn't God do that?
Yeah, many fish and bread
and fish.
Many loaves.
Yeah. And he can't clean a pool?
Damn it, God, help us out here.
That's why he walks on water. He doesn't actually want to get in it. I'm not getting in that.
Too dirty.
Jesus is a blast of pool parties.
Does that mean you can't invite Jesus to a pool party because he can't go in the water?
No, you can. Yeah. You can. He just
stands on top. He
just stands on top of the water.
He's got the drink the whole time.
It's awkward because like you're swimming under him and you're like looking up the rope. You're like, oh God, Jesus,
too bright, man.
Too bright.
Those linens, man.
Put some underwear on. You know they don't wear anything under that, right? Or do they wear stuff under that?
Okay, I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, the point is, this guy Love was released from custody, and they don't know if he's going to fight the charge. But I guess he doesn't really have a leg to stand on, or he doesn't have a prayer.
Oh,
that was bad.
Yeah, it was.
But
Just
the visual of this guy just dragging an 11-year-old boy and just tossing him into a bandit's
swimming pool. Where are we going? I'm going to baptize you.
Yes. It's been too long.
It's been too long.
You've got the devil in you.
And what made him think he could perform a baptism?
God told him.
God told him, I now grant you the ability to baptize?
Yeah. If God wakes you from your sleep, if he nudges you, hey, what's going on?
Hey, wake up.
He got a stick.
He gets a stick. He's poking him from heaven.
Yeah. Wake up.
It's like a 50-mile stick.
Wake up.
Get up.
Need you. Wake up.
Start slapping him.
Well, anyway, there you go. That's what I have for you in this week's non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. But before we officially wrap everything up, it's time to go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
I've learned that if God wakes you up, you better perform that baptism right then and there.
That's right.
Questions asked.
Nope. Nearest body of water.
That's right. Doesn't matter if it's filled with bacteria and algae. Just dump
a cesspool.
Doesn't matter. Good old cesspool, yeah. It's the best way to do a baptism.
Yeah.
sure, I guess. I also learned that people are running out of places to hide things.
Yeah. Really?
Butts, vaginas, and now foreskins.
Really?
Where does it end? Where does it end, Rich? The madness.
Eyeballs. It's going to happen.
That's
going to happen.
That's probably. You're probably right.
Dear God.
Eyeballs is next. Oh, but I also learned that Raymore and Flanagan is the new hip drug dealing hotspot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's where you go for the drugs.
Yeah. Everybody knows that. Raymore and Flanagan. Got to hit them up, right?
Yep.
Yeah. You get your recliner and some drugs to go with it.
Perfect.
It's like peanut butter and jelly. Drugs and recliners.
Yep. Make sure you get the downers, not the uppers.
The downers, not the uppers. Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to be bouncing off the walls. You just got a new recliner.
Right. You're going to enjoy it.
See? We could be like advertising representatives for Raymore and Flanagan.
There you go.
Perfect. Perfect. That's what I learned. Did you learn anything, Rich?
I learned that sometimes good things happen in Florida.
I would have said that's impossible until this week.
It happened.
It happened. The first time ever on this podcast, but it happened.
Yep. And there you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Woo, man. I think that was a good episode to head off into the sunset with.
Yeah, head off into the sunset. You make it sound like we're not coming back.
No, we'll be coming back, but...
We'll be back.
But it'll
we're
going to
be taking a little break.
Yeah, but, a little bit of a break.
But that was a good episode to leave things off on. Yeah. Fantastic stuff right there.
Folks, this is the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find a bunch of video noodles, interviews, and other stuff. Make sure to stay tuned because we'll be having the Too Many Games videos out.
That's
soon,
right. That's right.
So
even though we're on vacation, there's actually a lot of content coming your way.
That's right. So subscribe right now and keep your eyes open because a lot of great stuff up there. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. You can listen to us on the go, at home, at work, on your phone, computer, or tablet. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page where you can find the promos of the mini noodles, where we take the best bits of the show and shrink them down to a one to two minute format that you can listen to on the go and share the best bits of the Crispy Noodle Podcast with friends and family on the go.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I'm at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on Twitter. Let us know what's up.
Yeah, send us a shout out.
Yeah, send us anything you think that would be funny to talk about. Or just chat. Why not?
Yeah, either or.
Yeah, we're going to have some free time coming up.
Yeah.
But folks, that'll do it for right now. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Whew. I think that'll do it.
Yeah. I think we're going to enjoy the week off.
Yeah. We'll come back better and faster and stronger.
Hey, football starts.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Mike's got to get ready. Yeah,
that's why I need the break. I need the break to prepare mentally for football.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So there you go. A lot to look forward to coming up on the Crispy Noodle. But for now, that'll do it for us. I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
What's the deal with the podcast? What's going on? It's just crazy. It's wild. It's the Crispy Noodle 2016. Oh my gosh.